Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Hey, guys and girls and children of all ages. Rocking into a Thursday, getting let out. Lots of hoops, lots of hoops. It's a hoop junkies time of year. Loving it. I like it so much, I've actually found myself engaged in the NFL Combine. 2-8-4-8-5-7-1. About 10 or 12 minutes, we'll talk with Erin Boley of the Oregon women's basketball team. I didn't realize that with the freshman, Jazz Shelley, and Taylor Chavez, they're 2-3-4 in three-point percentage in the conference. Oh, maybe that's why Oregon's one of the best scoring teams in not only the league, but in the country. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So you've been paying attention to this all day. I've been kind of throwing an eyeball.
What now?
Has anybody gone nuts at a 4-4 or under a 4-3-5, 4-3-8 or some of this? Like for example, they're showing Chase Claypool, who ran a 4-4-2, and somebody talked about Calvin Johnson, who was 6'4", 235, and ran a sub-4.45, and no indicator he was going to be a beast.
They're done with the 40s for the first half of the wide receivers for today. So you had your tight ends, your quarterbacks all come in. They ran their 40 times and everything like that. And I think later on, maybe in the second half of today or after the wide receivers are done, we'll see more 40 times. I think when the running backs and maybe you get some corners out there and they start running their 40s, that's when you're going to see a lot more of the 4-4s, the 4-3s, maybe a 4-2 thrown in there, something like that, which would be exciting. But I think the fastest now was about a 4-4-3 by one of the wide receivers who ran, I think, the 4-4-4. He did himself better by a hundredth of a second. So that's the blazing speed we've seen so far. We're doing a lot of stuff with the quarterbacks and looking at their arms and routes that guys are running and thing like that and testing out their deep field, downfield accuracy.
I think it was on ESPN yesterday morning. They actually had the film from 2008. Chris Johnson, then out of Memphis, ran a 4-2-4. And then the dude from the Huskies, John Ross, broke it, 3 years ago? 4-2-2.
Yeah.
Just say that out loud, and you're like, these are regular like people, right?
I think the funny part about that was Adidas was going to buy somebody an island if they beat Chris Johnson's time of the 4-2-4. And but you had to be wearing like specific Adidas shoes, a whole bunch of like contract jumbo to like not actually end up giving somebody an island. And then there goes John Ross, who beats the time, and he did it in different shoes because they were the ones that were paying him more actual money as opposed to dangling the idea of an island in front of him.
You know, the interesting thing about those times is if you run like a 4.7 or something, you might not be wide receiver fast, but for a human being, you're really fast. That guy's beating you by almost a Second.
Yeah, go.
That's insanity.
Go to a park, go to a football field, and with a couple of buddies, and time your 40s, and find anybody that's running under, you know, 5.5, and be like, wow, you should be probably doing some sort of.
You're pretty fast, yeah, dude. I didn't know that.
Well, everybody else is clocking, you know, 5.8s, 5.9s, a couple 6s here and there. Yeah, you find the guy who's under 5. You're like, oh wow, this guy's kind of a speed demon.
If, like, the average person runs a 5.5, they got pretty good wheels. They could, like, run away from a burglar or something. And then, for 40 yards, a guy like Chris Johnson or John Ross, they're, like, so far ahead of you.
Oh, that's a lot of separation.
It's insane. It's incredible. It just goes to show you the difference when you're talking about real world class skills. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Gary. Gary, good afternoon. How's it going?
Well, I decided it would be all right to leave the house today, and still recovering from the loss to BYU.
Yeah, that was we were watching that in between the fight card we had bought, and man, I was surprised at how they had really nothing left for the stretch run. I mean, they never really made a run down the stretch.
BYU has been a good, solid team all year, but they've had their five-star athlete has hurt his hand, and he was out for like a half of the season. That kid's the real deal. He's next level player. And I haven't said this for like 2 years now, but the refs stink. Those guys were terrible.
Bad refs out west? Tell me more. we're really confused here in Pac-12 country that such a thing exists.
It's like the one of those things that it's in something in the air that's causing these people to go crazy. But the other thing I wanted to mention real quick is that I am so impressed with Peyton Pritchard, and I'm willing to make this declaration. He is the second best guard I have ever seen play at Oregon.
Ronnie Lee, Luke Ridnour?
Well, I said the second best.
Well, I'm trying to think of who you have as first.
Ronnie.
Oh, okay.
No question there. But what he did, Peyton Pritchard is doing this year. He'd go out there and good game, bad game, no matter what was going on with the rest of the team, he'd put the team on his back and he'd carry it. And Peyton has been doing that this year. He's making those heartbreaker, dagger three-pointers at the end of the game to pull Oregon's posterior out of the fire. How many times has he done that this year? Three or four at least?
Oh, no. He's been a wrecking crew when they've really needed him. No question about that.
The other little tidbit that I thought was interesting, I didn't realize it, but there's a gentleman by the name of Will Graves who played for Lane Community College a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He is now sitting on the edge of the Gonzaga bench.
Yeah, we obviously have a close relationship with Coach Graves, and he went and saw him play in some non-conference games earlier this year. So, yes, we're aware, as they say.
As you always are.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Have a good one.
Take it easy. Yeah, Gary was talking about Yoeli Childs, I believe his name is, for BYU, who has missed, I want to say 8 games so far or something this year. But he was in there against the Zags, and he scored 28 points with 10 rebounds. You know, he was the best player on the floor. And, you know, Tilly and Kispert and Petrusev are really good players. And, you know, they all scored 15, 17, 18 points. But that dude was an absolute difference maker, and he's a senior, and you know, with a school like BYU, he was a relatively, first of all, at 6'8", 225, I mean, he's kind of a menace. He's out there. He rebounds. He clogs passing lanes. And, yeah, he played one hell of a game. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We were talking earlier if we were talking about the Dominique Foxworth cut we played from ESPN about how, you know, with these collective bargaining negotiations ongoing, how when you own an NFL franchise, you know, you pass it down from generation to generation, and players can't pass down and say, well, I'm the right tackle for the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm going to will that to my son to be the right tackle. And somebody said, have a father and son ever played in the NFL at the same time? We know what happened in baseball. I mean, I think it was in 1990 or 91, we saw the Griffies go back-to-back, hit back-to-back homers when they're part of the Mariners. So I can't imagine, first of all, baseball, you could have a 20-year career. I think the chances it would have to be recent or a kicker or maybe an offensive lineman.
Tom Brady would have had, or Adam Vinatieri or someone like that, would have had to have had a kid when they were 17 years old, played this whole, because you've got to be, I mean, depending on your birthday or whatever, 21 years old, just about. So you have to have a kid then while you're in the NFL and then play for 21 years.
Right.
And the 22 years, because the start of the 22nd year is your child's first year playing. That would, it's almost impossible. Well, I mean, not that, I mean, it seems mathematically impossible.
And which is probably why it never happened.
Because like all of three people have played in the NFL for 20 years now, and we're watching two of them play.
Somebody asked if we remembered what DeAnthony Thomas combine time. That's got to be out there. And by the way, I'm looking it up as we speak. 4.5? That doesn't seem... Yeah, it looks like 4.5. I would have bet under that. put that. And you know what, though, if you think about it, now I remember him not being overwhelming. But of course, he's one of those guys, all right, maybe he's not the fastest guy in the combine, but who's faster than him with a football uniform on.
Yeah, you throw him out there into his like elusiveness and his acceleration is what gets him his speed. It's not the straight lineness of it, but it's the get up. Like his 10-second or his 10-yard split was probably incredible compared to everybody else's, or 20-yard split or whatever is probably really good. And then, you know, maybe he needs that extra 30 yards or whatever when he's thinking he's running a 100-yard dash. He's just he needs that more space, not more space.
Yeah, the bottom line is he did not overwhelm, but doesn't matter. He's still in the league. And his last year was 2013 season, so he was at the 2014 combine, which means 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Hey, you hang around the NFL 6, 8, 10 years. Yeah, I would call that a lucrative profession. Although, I don't know if, like, what his contract situation would be. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. He's with the Ravens now?
Yeah, the Chiefs cut him or released him, and then the Ravens signed him.
$805,000 one-year deal.
Yeah.
So, by the way, boo-hoo. Yeah. It's nice work if you can get it. All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We're kind of easing into what's going to be a rather lengthy Thursday night with a whole bunch of college hoops. Remember, we'll finish our regularly scheduled programming. Then we'll bring you the hour of Duck Insider with Joey Mack. And then I'll be back at 7 o'clock with the Jerry's Home Improvement Center pregame show. And then, as per usual, as the voice of the Oregon men's basketball program, we'll have the call, the game, the pregame, the postgame. If you're looking for the game on the tube, it'll be ESPN2. But right now, Like we mentioned, been looking forward to this all day. Let's get to the phones and bring in our special guest. Time to talk some Oregon hoops. The women wrapped the regular season this weekend with the Washington Schools. A lot on the line. Our guest, one of the premier snipers in the country, hitting 43% from downtown, hit 8 of 9 in the Cal win last week. Welcome in Aaron Boley. EB, thanks for the time. How you feeling these days?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm feeling good. We're excited about the senior weekend.
So, as a first-time guest, I've got to ask you some basics. You began your college career in South Bend, obviously here the last 2 years, but your story started in Hodgenville, Kentucky, south of Louisville and Lexington. And I know your dad went to Western Kentucky, but in your house, were you Cardinal fans, Wildcat fans, or was it now we're Hilltoppers?
We were actually Wildcat fans, and most of my family still is Kentucky fans. One of my younger brothers is a student at UK right now, so I was raised a Wildcat fan, but we're also WKU fans since my dad played there.
You know, I mentioned your dad who played 4 years at Western, late 80s, early 90s, so I looked it up. He was a 36% three-point shooter, so if it was a game of horse between you and dad, you taking him down or does he have a chance?
You know, it would be a good game. he's the one who taught me to shoot, and we still shoot together every time I'm in Kentucky, so yeah, it's fun. We love shooting together, and he was a great shooter as well. So, it would be a good game.
All right. Well, I wouldn't take on either one of you. We're talking with Aaron Boley. So after your freshman year, you decided to leave Notre Dame. You know, you had been a Gatorade National Player of the Year. You were part of a really good Irish team. You obviously had a lot of options. Aaron, what made you decide, Eugene, the Ducks, that this was the right move?
Basically decided on the people. I visited a lot of different schools, and Oregon was the last one that I visited, and I didn't know anything about it, and I just knew a few players on the team, and when I came out and visited, I just really loved the way that the coaches ran the practice that I watched, and I thought they were really great people, and so I decided on Oregon.
All right.
Basically, just because of the players and the coaches.
Well, I'd say it's done pretty well the last 2 years.
Yeah.
you guys visited UConn. Obviously, it's a legendary program. And as a freshman, I know you got to visit Tennessee. But playing that game at Gimple Pavilion, 11 banners, would I be accurate to say that you and your teammates not only are not intimidated, but you kind of embrace the chance to prove that's your level, that's what you where you're at?
Yeah, we do. It's this group especially is really, we love challenges like that, and I think it was a really cool experience to play at UConn, and we were really excited for it, and it's something that we all look forward to, and I think that's part of what makes us so tough to play is that we are excited every night to prove something. So playing at UConn was a really big challenge for us, and I thought we handled it really well.
Yeah, and for the record, Aaron hit 3 of 5 from downtown, had a really good night. So just in general, as I've been watching basketball for a long time, to give away my age, about 50 years, it just seems this group, you have what I call this joy of the game quality. You mentioned being excited about every game, but just as importantly, I mean, just how much fun have you been having being a part of this really unique team?
It's really fun, and that's one of the reasons that I came here. I could tell when I visited that even though this is a really high level and there are expectations, we also maintain a certain level of fun, and we all really enjoy playing with each other, and we love each other, and that's what makes us such a good team, and that's what makes this year's team so special is just that we have so much love for each other, and we're playing for each other and for our coaches, and yeah, even though that this is one of the highest levels you can play at, you still have to have fun with it.
Yeah, it really comes through. A couple final thoughts for Aaron Boley of the Ducks. Even though you guys have what I would call the eye of the tiger, you don't get distracted. Here we are now, of course, the final regular season games. We know Satu announced she's going pro, obviously Sabrina and Ruthie. So while your focus is on the big picture, any way around that you're going to feel some pretty strong emotions this weekend?
We're definitely going to feel lots of emotions this weekend. All four of those seniors that we have are really special to this program, and we're going to be taking this weekend to celebrate them and to play for them. And even though we're focused on one game at a time, we can still stop and appreciate everything that they've done for us.
While obviously the head coach, Kelly Graves, has done remarkable work here, Gonzaga, I mean, the Final Four, this is a great team again. I always enjoy the interaction I see with you players and Jody Berry. For those who don't get to see practice or much behind the scenes, how much of an impact and influence does Coach Berry have in all the great things happening with the Oregon basketball?
A huge influence. I think all of our assistant coaches, they have such a big impact, and they do so much behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see, and we consider Jody to be like our mom, and we're so close to her, and we feel like we can share things with her on and off the court, and it's really special to have someone that you feel that close to.
And finally, you mentioned one game at a time. Tomorrow's Washington State. While in 11th place, they got nothing to lose. But in prepping for this game and watching film, what have you learned? What are some of the challenges this Cougar team will present your Ducks tomorrow night?
They're a good team, and it's going to be a good game. I think we are focused on coming out and playing our best. There's things that we're working on right now. On both ends of the court, we're trying to focus on coming out with a lot of energy every game, and you know, when we get a big lead, trying to keep it that way throughout the entire game. So there's lots of things that we're focusing on personally for our team, and we're going to try to come out and we're just work on some things, and it's going to be a good game.
Folks, she wears number 21 with Jazz Shelley and Taylor Chavez. That's the second, third, and fourth best three-pointer shooters in the Pac-12. That night's going to be packed and rocking. Aaron, it's really great to get a chance to speak with you. I appreciate your time. Stay healthy. Best of luck the rest of the way, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Awesome. Super smart and a terrific player. EB. Take a break. Back. More sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Kind of game to game, I was really disappointed in the turnovers and the free throw shooting at Arizona State. We improved both, you know, against Arizona, and the results were a lot better. 11 turnovers in an overtime game, and we went 11 for 14, you know, from the free throw line. We needed every one. Still a work in progress.
Yeah, I've heard Coach with Joey Mack talk about this roster and this team being a work in progress all season long. But with a coach like that who's very tinkery, I think every one of his teams are. But, you can tell there's also a little bit of frustration. But always hopeful and optimistic and a belief that he and his guys, if they go to the drawing board, could figure it out. And let's face it, in most games, the University of Oregon men's basketball team has a coaching edge. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We've got hoops in town tonight. And, it's a big one. So you got the Duck men tonight, the Duck women Friday, the Duck women on Sunday, then the Oregon women regular season, it's over. And they'll be the one seed. And, you know, I guess I really didn't look enough about what time they will start tournament play, because you could already tell exactly when. I mean, I was going to say, do you think we'll be able to figure out where they'll be playing? Yeah, I think that's determined, Steve. There's a rocket scientist behind the microphone right now. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So the first round is, can't believe I'm saying this, Thursday. Oregon as a one seed will play 2 o'clock on Friday. And then into the semis, you get into They're on the side of the bracket that would be 6 o'clock Saturday and the final on Sunday. Pac-12 Network has everything except the final, which is on ESPN. So, yeah, what you look at it now and you're like, blank got real. As far as the men's tournament, it's 2 weeks from today or 2 weeks from yesterday. My bad. Yeah, because you got so if Oregon were to enter as the one seed, they would play at noon on Thursday. If they're the two seed, 6 o'clock on Thursday. So for greed's sake, do we kind of want them to enter as a two seed? No. That's bad. That gets people like, really? You're going to root for Oregon to not be in the best position just because you're too lazy to do a full show?
Number two.
Well, it's not that we're rooting against Oregon, but being tied for second place, things are out of their destiny is out of their control. It may just end up being that being the two seed is the better route for them. It mathematically, this seems like the thing that might happen.
If it happens, it happens.
Go Ducks.
Somebody said, did I see what the punter did? Michael Turk. Now, by the way, is he the son of the old punter, Matt Turk?
He is, yes. So there's your answer. Oh, well, there's maybe possibly soon to be your answer of father-son playing on the same team at the same position, assuming he ends up with Father Turk's team, which I have no idea.
I think he played for the Raiders, and he had a long career, 95 to 2011. No, I'm thinking of the wrong guy because I'm a yutz. He played for Washington, Miami, the Jets, the Rams, Houston and Jacksonville.
What it would have been quicker to you for you to list the teams
he didn't play for.
Yeah,
but to our point, we were trying to figure out a father-son combo in the National Football League that played for the same team, not that just played in the league. And we know that Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Senior and Junior both played for the Mariners.
I found a Wikipedia article that I DM'd you that has a full list of first and second generation, and then mostly just the Matthew families after that, of third generation families that have played in the NFL. I have no idea who most of these people are, so I can't tell you what teams they played for, but I'm imagining, and if you find that link and click on it, you'll be able to read through and you'll probably find a couple of the answers that you're looking for. I found you the information. You just need to sort it out from here, being the supercomputer that you are.
So there, did you find, was it the second generation NFL players?
That's the one.
Because then there was a question at Quora.com, and they said, has there ever been a father and son in the NFL active at the same time? And the answer was no. And the only major professional sport where he's seen it was, like we've been talking about, the Griffies.
Didn't it happen with, who is the guy in the NHL who played for?
Howe.
Yeah, Howe.
Yeah, Gordie Howe came back out of retirement to play with his sons in the World Hockey Association.
Okay, so it wasn't
Not in the NHL.
Right, no. But that was...
came back at like 53, 54.
Close second, though. To play hockey with your sons is quite impressive.
yeah, sport like that. So Marion Barber is one of the guys who I remember his dad as a running back as well. I think Marion Barber, the elder, played with the J-E-T-S, Jets. Yes, he did. He also went to college like his kid and played with the Jets on some really good Jet teams. The first one made it all the way to the AFC Championship. The 85 team played in the divisional round. The 86 team lost in the divisional round. And but Marion Barber, whose son, the other Marion Barber, who, by the way, they played Oregon in the 2003 Sun Bowl. And I remember doing an interview and reading a press release, his nickname was Marion the Barbarian.
That's good. That's a good nickname.
I thought that was a good one. He played his whole career except for the final season with the Cowboys before he moved on to Bears. And, you know, for a seven-year running back who was never really a starter or what you call a full-timer, I mean, you know, his first 5 years he had between 550 and 900 yards rushing. And he was a guy who ended up with 200 catches, about 5,000 yards rushing, and retired at age 29. I would assume he was injured, but you never know with the shelf life of a running back. Yeah, somebody said in the MLB, the Alouz, that's not a father-son thing. That's Matty, Jesus, and Felipe. And the one who is pissed off about the Bartman ball.
Well,
that's the son.
Felipe managed Moises.
Yeah, with the Expos?
The Giants. They were Felipe was the manager, and Moises Alou was on the Giants at the time. I think right before he became a Cub, I believe.
I seem to think, is it possible that they were teamed up with the Expos? But, Moises Alou, he's the nephew of Jesus and Matty, 100% right, the son of, Felipe Alou. But I don't know why I seem to have a vision of him on the Expos with Daddy as the manager. I am not betting on that, by the way, in case you thought I was willing to go to the match. Okay, here it is. 1992 on Montreal, they had Moises Alou did play for his father. Okay. I'm not saying it didn't happen with the Giants. I'm saying it definitely happened with the Expos.
Well, I know that Moises was on the Giants because that's when it came out that he was a guy who didn't wear batting gloves or anything. Or
he's not
pine
the one
tar.
He pees on
his hands. Yeah, right. So he was the guy that nobody would high five him. It was all fist bumps or
it's a Friends episode.
Yeah, he's a hand peer on.
Okay, and in 2005, you're right, when he's with the G-Men, his dad was the manager. So he actually played two different stints for his dad, which is
two
by
different
way,
countries as well.
It's very cool.
Very cool. Gary called in. He brought up Howie Long with Kyle and, I can't remember the other Long. Chris Long. Howie only played on the Raiders,
right,
and none of them have played on the Raiders. So you've got same position for Chris and Howie, but not same team.
No, that's a good one. And they weren't really close to playing together either, because Chris joined the league in 08, and Howie was a rookie in like 80, so probably retired 15 years prior. So, and Chris, isn't it Chris who just announced his retirement, didn't play last year, and has always been known as not only a great player, but, who got the Super Bowl ring with Philly, and on that St. Louis, on that New England team, but also a really philanthropic guy. By the way, second overall pick out of, I think he went to UVA. Went to Virginia in the, by the way, pretty good draft. Jake Long, Matt Ryan, Darren McFadden. Maybe not the greatest draft. A little bit of drop off there.
Matt Ryan was involved. It's a great draft.
Joe Flacco also in that draft. And
is he elite?
Jonathan Stewart, 13th overall to the Carolinians.
Great draft, Steve. I think you need to eat your words.
Chris Johnson, who we were talking about. Felix Jones. Sam Baker, the touchdown maker from USC. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm old, and my memory could be wrong, but I seem to recall Felipe Alou playing for the Eugene Emeralds back before Civic Stadium became a baseball field. It was the old Bethel Park, and I was a teenager at the time, and I seem to recall that. So just a point of interest.
Okay, interesting. I'd have to figure out when he played in the minor leagues, because he came up in 1958. 61. Well, it says he played for the – who are you looking at? Philippe Alou?
I Googled it, and I got Jesus Alou.
No, I'm okay. Philippe Alouing, okay. Who he said. So you'd have to go and figure out which draft he was in. What am I saying? There was no draft when he was, I guess, signed, which is how they, and especially on an international level, chances were that he got signed at like 16 or so. And according to Wikipedia, he was born in 58. Yeah, it doesn't even say how he wound up joining. I guess the first team he was with was the Giants out of the Dominican Republic. I would imagine you have to go back to the 50s. And so the truth is, I'm not sure as far as the lineage of who were the Eugene M's affiliates back then. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take our final call of this segment and welcome in Fred. You're live on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. How's it going?
I'm just reminiscing about the old Wooden Stadium, but we did 24 rounds, 24 holes today. We're thinking about doing an Ironman day, maybe do a 48. Minimum of 36, three different courses. What do you think are the toughest courses in the area?
That you're going to walk?
We're going to walk them.
Well, obviously, Diamond Woods is very hilly. Courses like EV and Shadow are great courses, but they're walkable because you're not going up and down. So right off the bat, I would challenge you to do D-Dub. And plus, the thing I like about Diamond Woods is 9 and 18. It's just that steady uphill incline when you're almost done. And it's like, you always have to add an extra club and a half to that last approach shot.
We might invite you. We're going to pick out three. We're going to do three different courses in the same day.
All right, well, I'll play one round. I'm not that ambitious.
Talk to you later.
Take it easy. Somebody, by the way, in the father-son thing also mentioned the Ripkins. Cal and Billy played in the league, but the dad, while he was a coach, I don't think Cal Ripken Sr. played in the major leagues. So I see where you're going with that. I would use the phrase, I don't think it's applicable. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Remember, your friends here at KUJZ 95.3 The Score got a great way to save you big bucks. Don't pay full price, pay half. Go to our link. Our website also is probably a better way. 953thescore.com. Click on the sweet deals link. Save half price on local area businesses this week. On sale tomorrow morning, the Oregon Coast Aquarium family four pass, regularly $99.95, just $49.95. Get the details at the sweet deal link on our website, 953thescore.com. I've been to the aquarium a couple times. I remember I went and actually covered it as a news story when they first upgraded with the acrylic kind of encasing, and they had all kinds of cool sharks and stuff. So if you're planning for this summer to make a trip there, kids absolutely love it. Well, I'm kind of a big kid. I loved it as well. So again, check out Sweet Deals Today from KUJZ 95.3 The Score. All right, break time. We'll come back, and we'll delve into the tweet of the day and then wrap up this segment of our stint with you in what's going to be a very basketball-heavy evening right here, 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face.
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody. Yo, Doc Nick.
Hello, host Steve. I forgot to turn your mic on for that, so nobody heard you say hi, Doc
Nick. Hi, Doc Nick.
Thanks, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Prospered Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment that is made to chill. Some late-breaking reporting here from Brandon Kammerman, at @B_Kammerman on Twitter, of KVAL and KMTR. Yeah, got those right. Reporting that it's sounding more and more likely that Aaron Feld will not be going to Alabama. Said it's a fluid situation, things could change, but indications are Bama will go in another direction. I believe Kirby Smart was able to pluck a longtime strength and conditioning coach from Alabama to Georgia, and Aaron Feld, being from Alabama, was, I believe, a co-strength and conditioning coach with them before he came out here to Eugene. A lot of people kind of worried about that. So, again, just some reporting from some sources, but passing along some good vibes on a Thursday that Aaron Feld and his fantastic mustache might be hanging around a little bit longer.
All right.
Here's a sad tweet. We're going to go in the opposite direction here. From Michael Gelkin, at @GelkinNFL, who tweeted Jerry Jones on possibly re-signing former Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant. Quote, "I've thought about it. I've thought a lot about it in the shower." End quote.
Don't share that.
If I had to read a tweet about Jerry Jones being in the shower thinking about Dez Bryant, you too are going to have to think about a tweet of Jerry Jones thinking about Dez Bryant in the shower, because it's a horrible mental image, and I didn't want to think about it. I shouldn't have to think about it, but I did, and now you will too.
I'm doing all I can now to just power through this mentally and hope it goes away.
It won't go away. But our tweet of the day is from @PatMcAfeeShow, and it was talking about what got us on our last tangent for the last couple of segments here. I just threw my pen on the floor. Michael Turk, the punter, put on an incredible showing today at the bench press with 25 reps today, and @PatMcAfeeShow with some incredible just wordsmithing here. That's a lightweight for punter Michael Turk. His uncle Matt Turk was bombing balls, hashtag for the brand, in the NFL for a long time, and he might have had the biggest arms I've ever seen. Slaughtering footballs and eating weights, that's what the Turk family does. That's some incredible stuff. Pat McAfee loves him some punters, and Michael Turk did some good stuff today for hashtag for the brand of punters. So thanks to @PatMcAfeeShow for the refreshing tweet of the day. Find that and more on our Twitter page @953thescore. Follow me on Twitter @RickNodgers. You can follow Steve on Twitter @SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk.
GDI.
Just do it.
We are into the home stretch of a Wednesday edition of Crunch Time and Sports Talk, but hold all tickets. You won't notice anything different until a tad later. As usual, we will sign off. Joey Mack will come on with his program. I was going to say Inside Edition. Duck Insider. And then, hey, how did Steve get back on the air? I'll be back with our half hour Jerry's Home Improvement Oregon Men's Basketball pregame show at 7 o'clock. Then back to Joey Mack as we play hopscotch or tennis or some back and forth game. And then they'll have the pregame leading right up to our call of Oregon Men's Basketball. Civil War tonight, a big one in town. And should be fun. Huge. A lot on the line. What more could you ask for? Meaningful games on the cusp of March. That's why you're a college basketball fan. So there you go. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good afternoon. It's going well. Friday's tomorrow, so it's all good.
Okay.
Hey, you're talking about Pacific Coast League baseball and the Emeralds when they are associated with the Phillies?
Somebody brought that up. They actually went back farther. When to the 1950s.
Oh wow! Because I remember I grew up in Portland, so I was a Portland Beaver fan. The Emeralds back in the day had Greg Luzinski, Larry Heisel, Larry Boa. At the same time that Dodger team of the 70s was with the Spokane Indians, and Losada was the manager. They had Yeager and Ferguson as their catcher, Garvey at first,
Yep.
Say, Buckner, Lopes. They had Bobby Valentine in center. So back in the day, Pacific Coast League baseball used to be kind of fun to go to when I was a kid. But, you know, Portland's still that AAA team. But I can't imagine that I'm thinking about Phil, that Eugene had a – did Eugene actually have the Phillies here as a AAA team?
Yeah, into the – you remember it was Mike Schmidt.
At Civic
and,
Stadium? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, in,
that's hard to imagine.
Just up until the night – well, with those guys, obviously, through the early 70s. But
yeah.
But then I'm not 100% sure. I think they switched affiliations from Philly to Cincinnati. I'd have to double check that.
You know, that was one of the, I remember going to, I went to Beaver. One day they had a practice. You'd come down to the Civic Stadium in Portland, and Lou Piniella was with the Beavers then, and Richie Sheinblum, who was a rookie of the year back in, what, 68 with the Royals, I think?
Sounds familiar.
That was great times as a kid growing up, actually being around professional ball players. So, anyway, I'll let you get and go Ducks.
All right. Have a good one. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I was trying to find that out. I don't believe, I mean, obviously now it's been a really good relationship between the M's and the Chicago Cubs. And that's been since, I think, 2014. But the summer before last, they extended the deal through and including 2022. So for 2021 and two, they'll be the single-A affiliate in the Northwest League of the Chicago Cubs. All right. I guess it's a little too late to give out the phone number. But like I said, a little later on, when I get into our Jerry's Home Improvement Center pregame show, I'm going to run through the big ones in the Pac-12 as well as talk some OSU hoops and, you know, recap the big Arizona win. Because, like I said, this is pretty big stuff. And even though Oregon is a game behind Arizona State, they've got a more favorable schedule just because they're home. And the way this league has played on the road, we're like, there's been one road sweep, and I believe it's been Arizona State. There was another one. Did it happen recently?
Arizona State's done it twice. Arizona did it in the same weekend with Arizona State against the Bay Area schools.
Okay. So three times. The bottom line is Oregon remains the lone unbeaten team in conference at home. So, ASU, well, I guess eventually when you win seven in a row, you're kind of going to cross that path. They did it to the Bay Area schools, like Nick said. All right. Hang tight. Duck Insider is next. I'll talk to you guys at 7 for our pregame show right here, 95.3 The Score.